And this is our number 10.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
It is a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. And if you didn't have a chance to listen to the noon hour, I would really encourage you to check out the podcast after the show, because we spent the whole hour breaking down the governor's budget proposal, the insane tax increases that he's proposing, and just the infuriating nature. And I can't go any more in depth than I did through the first hour of today's show. So go and check it out. I'm getting some feedback from people on the text line here. You can text us at 98973, the Online Trading Academy text line, 98973. I'm amazed at how dumb. Like, most of our texters are wonderful, smart listeners who, you know, they listen to the show because they know that this is the source of light and truth.
Mm.
Yeah.
Are we starting out with a name call?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Here's one texter wrote, "You are speaking from the point of someone who never had to struggle, who never couldn't pay for college, who had to wait years to finish college so they could get enough grants to be able to afford the loans for what was left over. And you know what happens when you have to finish college late? You fall behind and you may never catch up." I'll just point out to whoever sent that text that you obviously know absolutely zero of my story. And so you concocted some fiction as you're writing a text because you disagree with all of the facts that I presented in the last hour. And as you're listening to facts that give you this cognitive dissonance because you realize deep down how twisted your worldview is. So you sit and concoct some fantasy. You obviously know absolutely nothing of this show and my life story and all of that. And that's a really bizarre way for you to play out the demons in your head when you can't deal with the facts that we present here. But I have to deal with that from, you know, people on the left here all the time. So I'm used to it. I just thought I'd point it out. Okay, but send us a text. I love them. 98973. That's 98973. So we've got the... Are you bumping all these up here, Nicole? All the Fastest
Refresh
15 audio? Okay. I'm not comfortable with our Monson Madness finals. The two that I wanted in the final four,
mm-hmm,
both lost.
Mm.
One by only a couple votes, one by
Yeah,
quite
one
a
by
few.
Two votes. Mm-hmm. My boyhood neighbor, Dick,
that didn't make it?
Did not make it to the finals.
Oh, but I know exactly who did.
And Dave Wyman icing his crotch didn't make it to the finals. And let's face it, if those two had been the finalists, it would have been really weird. So anyway, by tomorrow we will announce the favorite soundbite of 2018 as selected by you, the listener. And I know that you and Nicole get a tremendous kick out of one of the two finalists. I cringe every time I hear it. I don't know why our listeners are voting for this.
Oh, I do.
She's hilarious.
It bothers me. And
well, after you get over one fan.
Yeah, after you get over the meanness, then you just realize,
but
you know what, she's probably very lonely.
I'm too protective of you two.
I know. And
wait a second. She's probably pretty lonely. Are you the one who just called me out for going after a texter?
No. How would I have done that? I was a little busy.
Mean.
Oh, that was Nicole. Okay. I knew it was one of you. Okay, so Diane's voicemail, angry voicemail about Ursula and Nicole, is in the finals.
About me.
Ursula, Diane, I've called you before, 425, where, you know, not everybody thinks the way you do. Hey, you know, this guy is your boss. This is the guy who made this program that you came on, okay? You didn't make it. He did, and the success of it. How damn stupid. I take back my apology to you that I made a while ago about Oprah running.
Okay, let me skip towards the end of this. She was upset when ever Ursula or Nicole would say something that disagreed.
But she specifically was really upset about the Oprah comment that I would dare say that Oprah could consider running for president.
Right.
I didn't say whether she would win. I just said there's a possibility. Why not? You know, that she had been talked about as a possibility.
If you want, I'll play it. You know, we've been playing these couple cuts from Diane's voicemail, but she was, that voicemail, I think, was 12 minutes long. And I have another cut we can mix it up with if you want.
Please, please do. Mix it up for me.
Oh, great.
Shut your damn mouth, because we're not tuning in to hear you. Not at all. You could be replaced in a drop, and so could the producer, and no one would miss you. You're not the show. You're not, it's not called the Ursula show or whatever that stupid producer's name is.
Oh,
okay?
Man.
Oh. So, okay, that's enough.
That is what I have to say.
So Diane's voicemail is one of the finalists for favorite soundbite of 2019.
Did I ever tell you when I was at QFC? Of course, there's a day I went in with absolutely no makeup, just running into Cummins, and someone stopped me and said, aren't you Ursula? Are you okay? Diane was so mean.
That's why I'm so uncomfortable with it. Why did you vote that as a finalist?
Oh, it's going to
win. That's part of the gig. You deal with it.
I don't think it's going to win.
We're okay.
Because here's its opponent in the finals for tomorrow. Sawant versus the construction workers downtown.
Dear members of media, I really appreciate you all coming here for this important discussion.
No head tax! No head tax! No head tax! No head tax!
Make an appeal to my brothers in the labor movement. As you know, I'm also a rank and file member of the labor movement.
No head tax! No
That's my favorite guy.
No head tax!
The first guy,
no
though.
No head tax!
Brothers, when we can disagree, and we will have disagreements in the labor movement, but if we fight against each other, the bosses win.
No head tax! No head tax! No head tax!
I'm making that a 2-1 favorite to beat Diane in the finals.
Oh, so now you're saying that, and everyone's going to vote for Diane.
No, I don't. You vote your conscience. That's what I always tell everybody. As long as your conscience agrees with me,
but just know that on your conscience will be the fact that if suddenly you don't hear my voice at the start of the new year, it might have been because of Diane.
No.
Because Dory's my boss.
So go vote. We need everyone to vote. I want everyone to weigh in and pick your favorite soundbite of 2018. We will announce the winner on tomorrow's show. Go to MyNorthwest.com, the Dory Monson show page, or Facebook.com/Dory Monson and cast your vote. So up next in the Fastest 15. So I never watch television in the mornings. I just do show prep, and I like to have just my fake Christmas tree lit up, my fake gas fireplace on, lights off fake.
With your candles that smell like Christmas trees.
Dave Wyman had the funniest line and observation. I got these new shoes that Nicole hates. They're Skechers. They're just slip-on shoes.
Yeah, those are kind of hip.
Do you like these?
Those are not hip.
Oh, not those ones.
What do you mean? They're the ones Romo wears.
They look really comfy. I was just kidding. They look fine.
They're like slippers.
Yes.
Not hip.
So they're just, and they are just slip-on shoes. And Dave Wyman looked at me yesterday. I was wearing sweatpants. I was wearing my dorky shoes. And he goes, so you don't zip anything anymore? You don't tie anything? Everything in your life is slip-on?
Everything's come back full circle. You know, when we didn't have our kids, we just do Velcro.
I told him that before you know it, I'm just going to get one of those one-piece romper jumpers and slip into that. Yes,
it's been on his mind because he also just mentioned that he went over to dinner at your house last weekend, and his wife said, what am I supposed to wear to dinner? And he goes, I don't know. Dory's going to be wearing a sweats and a tiny tee. So.
And I didn't remember because, Dave and his wife came over for dinner. And he told me that story. Because I guess his wife was like obsessing over what she should wear. Oh. He goes, it doesn't matter.
It's Dory.
Dory's going to have sweats and a t-shirt. And I said, I don't remember. What was I wearing? He goes, sweats and a tiny tee. And I don't even know what he means by tiny tee.
They're usually slightly thick.
Okay. Well, that's because when you got guns like these, every shirt looks tiny.
That was so sweet of Nicole. Slightly fit.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, this morning, got my fake tree, my fake fireplace, but the TV was on because my wife goes to the gym Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Fridays, but Thursday she stretches. So she was watching our news partners at Cairo 7, and then at 7 o'clock, the TV's still on, and the CBS Morning News comes on, which I hardly ever see.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what the lead story was? This joyous mine shaft rescue. The three people who had been trapped down that mine in West Virginia. And I would consider this burying the lead. But here's the CBS report this morning on this feel-good Christmas time story of this miraculous mine rescue.
Absolutely unbelievable. You know, there was an explosion of joy, and we heard it last night when friends and family in the community center behind me heard the good news. Now, the medical condition of the three people who were rescued is still unclear, but they were well enough to stop by here on their way to the hospital.
Okay, so that's the reporter on this, and what a great feel-good story, because everybody thought they might be lost. The whole community's out cheering and celebrating as they walked out.
After 111 hours stranded underground, Kayla Williams, Cody Beverly, and Erica Treadway emerged from West Virginia's Rockhouse Powelton mine.
My shoes were soaked, and I couldn't get my feet warm.
Greg Scarborough is Cody Beverly's grandfather.
This right here community loves one another.
Okay, I mean, the family members are there. Yeah. The whole community has turned out. I mean, could there be a warmer story?
You might see us next week having a difference or whatever, because we're human. But when it gets down to push comes to shove, we love one another.
Emergency workers raced around the clock for 4 days, searching deep into the mine while the amount of oxygen in the air neared deadly levels. Entering the mine, which had been inactive for 2 years, was not easy. Rescue.
Okay, now that's where I said. Oh, really? Because I've been kind of peripherally paying attention to the story.
Honestly, I have not been paying attention to it.
I didn't realize, because I thought they were four mine workers who were trapped down
right
there. And so that was the first I'd heard that the mine had been inactive.
For 2 years was not easy. Rescuers had to remove water at one entrance and bulldoze a new road outside the other. They used fans to help pump in air.
So what a massive effort. They pumping in air. They've got all these rescue personnel. The community's out there. Grandpa's out there. The mayor is out there.
4,000 feet underground in the mine, rescuers say they reached Treadway first at 6 p.m., then Williams and Beverly 30 minutes later. All three walked out on their own.
It's a Christmas blessing. That's all there is to it.
That's the governor. It's a Christmas blessing. So now I'm just all wrapped up in the story. Heroic rescue. Grandpa, the community. It's just unbelievable.
Jim Justice celebrated with the family.
It's our rescuers. There's nothing like them. Right when they were gathering together, all of them came by me and hit me on the shoulder and said, we're going to get them. We're going to find them. And they did.
Okay, so now the question is, so if the mine's been closed for 2 years, how were they down there?
Well, what were they doing down there?
A fourth person who emerged from the mine on Monday helped guide rescue workers to the other three. One of those rescue workers tells us this entire mission could cost as much as $1 million. And police say the four went into the mine to steal copper wiring and they could face criminal charges.
What?
Wait, what?
What? How is that the last line in a 1 minute and 58 second report? Is that slightly burying the lead? You try telling us it's a Christmas miracle. You play Grandpa's joyous soundbite. The community is celebrating. They're all just happy as can be. And we find out that it's possible meth heads that went down to steal copper wiring. And we spent $1 million to pull them out?
Okay, they're... I'm just... I'm trying to say this with a straight face, but what were you expecting them to do? Just like, oh, they were trying to steal, so let's just keep them down there?
Sure.
Oh, stop.
Yeah.
Or it could just be
they
a
got
news
themselves
story,
in.
Yeah,
they
just maybe not necessarily a heartwarming
out.
Christmas
yeah,
story.
Yeah, I think this was completely misleading. They should have said...
I mean,
what it is in the headline right now on CNN is they went into an abandoned mine to steal copper, then they got trapped. That should have been in the lead.
Yes. I mean, I swear to you, I think I probably follow the news more closely than 99% of the population because
you and
I
me
must.
Both. Yes.
You have to.
Yeah.
I truly, for 4 days, I thought these were mine workers. And yes, of course, we have to go and get them out because they're... You know, they're doing such a dangerous job.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that these were people who were stealing copper wire to feed their drug habit. And I have to listen to a minute 50
and let's be clear,
of the CBS
just,
story.
But it's not just CBS. I just searched
Everybody.
Mine Rescue and the top 10 stories mention nothing about that. They're all Christmas miracles.
How about the headline, Taxpayers on the Hook to Rescue Meth Heads? Allegedly, because I don't know if meth is their drug of choice. I know that copper wiring has somehow become a prime target of meth heads.
Cautionary tale. But you know what? People risked lives and rescuers could have died. Yeah, there was a lot of money, and hopefully they learned a lesson and are not just getting a hero's welcome.
I'm sure there are real Christmas stories out there.
Yes!
That's what's sad.
Exactly. There's got to be a better Christmas tale. I mean, this is where we've gone. This is a Christmas story 2018 that we risk or we spend $1 million and risk lives of selfless people so that we can pull drug addicts out of a mine shaft? Oh, which book of the Bible is that in? Is that Luke?
I mean, they still needed to be rescued. It's just the story needed to be written differently.
Yeah, just let us know and don't try telling us that it's a Christmas miracle.
Because for 2.5 minutes you were hanging on every word and your emotions, it was an emotional roller coaster for you.
I'm going to ask my wife to just go to the gym 5 mornings a week so I don't ever have the TV on.
Maybe that was their detox.
This is the kind of...
Now they're going to be good to go.
Oh, yeah.
Christmas miracle.
Oh, this will... Yeah, they're just starting to turn their lives around now. Okay, I got to take a quick time out. We've just meandered on, and I've got... Oh, man. I've got a lot of Fastest 15 stories still in front of me. So we will continue with a second 15 in just a moment as the Dory Monson Show rolls on. Still have so much news to get to. We're extending our Fastest 15 into a second 15. What a sad story about this homeless guy who was struck and killed by a car in the Inner Bay neighborhood of Seattle. 11 o'clock last night, the man was pronounced dead at the scene. The driver was cooperating with police, and they said didn't appear to be impaired at all. They believe the man was homeless and was not crossing the street in a crosswalk. And obviously it's tragic for the man who's hit and killed. But I was thinking, you want to talk about another victim of our region's inability to deal with homelessness? That person who was driving the car. And I mean, I can't imagine what it's like to hit and kill a human being with your vehicle. And, you know, I got a text or an email from a longtime friend, listener. And he said, can you imagine if that was one of your daughters or one of my kids driving that car and they got to carry with them for the rest of their life that they hit and killed a man as another extension of the homelessness epidemic around here. And it's just another reminder that, it's obviously very sad for the person who was struck and killed. It's very sad for the person driving the car, too. And there are a lot of victims in this story every single day that don't get thought about very often. Okay, let's continue here in the second 15. Hey, where's the outrage mob for Mika Brzezinski? I haven't heard too much outcry the last few hours.
Is that any sort of indication of how their ratings are in the morning? Do they have good ratings?
I don't know, but...
I never watch.
Yeah, Mika Brzezinski, yesterday morning, she made what many people are calling the most homophobic comment of any host in morning television history when she said this about Secretary of State Mike Pompeo and the president.
Why doesn't Mike Pompeo care right now? Are the pathetic deflections that we just heard when he appeared on Fox and Friends, is that a patriot speaking? Or a wannabe dictator's butt boy?
Okay. And wannabe dictator's butt boy is
a... not uncomfortable just hearing that.
It's a homophobic slur. Yeah. And what I'm reminded of is earlier, I think it was just this week. Wasn't it just this week when Kevin Hart was forced out of hosting the Oscars?
Was it last week?
Late last week.
Okay, last week. Okay, so within the last week, Kevin Hart, because of jokes he tried to tell as a comedian a decade ago, that he apologized for years ago, they resurface, and the outrage mob demands that he be removed as Oscars host. And a few months ago, Norm MacDonald, the comedian that I think is the funniest of all the stand-ups right now, Norm MacDonald, he said something in a print interview about Louis C.K. and Roseanne and how they lost everything. And he said it's bad for their victims, of course. You know, Louis C.K., who, did some horrible things in front of other female comedians in his dressing room. And then Roseanne, she puts out a single tweet that, said a horrible thing about Obama's former advisor. And Roseanne immediately loses her number one rated. So that's where I say it's not about ratings. Roseanne had the number one show in the country, puts out one tweet that had and it was a horrible thing that she said about, it was Valerie Jarrett. And Roseanne loses her career. And here we are about 30 hours removed from a homophobic slur by a darling of the far left. And, Roseanne's show was considered, the Trump lovers love Roseanne's show. And she gets immediately, within hours, she's canceled. And her career is turned upside down. Here we are 30 hours later, and a low-rated but far left morning show host who said something worse than what Roseanne said, who said something far worse. I mean, all Norm MacDonald said was, Roseanne and Louis C.K. are friends of mine, and I feel bad for what they're going through. And the next day, Norm MacDonald, do you remember this? Norm MacDonald was supposed to go on Jimmy Fallon's Tonight Show. He gets there. He's in the green room, and Jimmy Fallon comes back and says, hey, we can't let you go on tonight. Why not? I have producers who are literally sobbing because you're here. Because Norm MacDonald said he was still friends and wanted to help Louis C.K. and Roseanne. So producers at The Tonight Show are sobbing because Norm MacDonald said that in a print interview. But the same network, corporation, NBC, 30 hours later, after a homophobic slur. And by the way,
I'm just reading right now that she was not on the air this morning.
Yeah.
So there's some sort of.
I watched that. Joe, her hubby, said, Mika's on a long-planned family day off.
But, yeah, there's a lot of speculation family
and by
event
the way,
that he's not attending.
Let me be clear. I don't think Mika Brzezinski should be fired. I think Kevin Hart should still be hosting the Oscars.
Yeah, and
I think Norm MacDonald should have gone on The Tonight Show the next night. But the outrage mob is so selective, and it's
very inconsistent. And I know you're about to say it only goes one direction.
It does.
I think it's very inconsistent.
And it only goes one direction.
And there we disagree.
Oh, man. When it comes to the outrage mob, no, it's the PC far left that determines Roseanne gets fired and Mika, who knows what's going to happen.
Well, what's Norm MacDonald's politics?
He doesn't talk politics much.
Okay. But I don't think he's known to be a conservative. And certainly Kevin Hart isn't.
No, he's Norm Macdonald's pretty moderate.
Yeah.
But again, look at the Roseanne thing. For the same, networks, ABC, NBC, it's ridiculous how one-sided the outrage goes. But we'll see what happens to her after her comments. One other thing. Let me play this for you. How do you think somebody like Sam Kinison, he was the hottest comedian of his day. Are you familiar with his work at all?
I feel like it was that in the 80s?
It was about probably 85.
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
He went on Letterman, and his first appearance on Letterman, I'm thinking...
Well, didn't he have a lot of comedians do, but really filthy mouth?
Yeah.
Okay.
But his big shtick was he would just... he would scream at the top of his lungs.
Okay, yeah, I remember.
Okay, so here was one of Sam Kinison's bits. Oh, you know what? Let me take a quick time out. But I watched this again last night in the context of this, thinking about Norm Macdonald, how he was treated, how Roseanne was treated, how Mika Brzezinski's being treated. And I was thinking, I don't know how comedians even get going these days, because you're not allowed to say anything, because the outrage mob will come and get you. Okay, let me pick up this thought in a moment as the Dory Monson Show rolls on. So talking about the outrage mob, in today's sign, the end is near, yesterday, I told the story about this comedy night they're doing at the University of London. And they asked comedians who were invited to come and perform to sign a behavioral agreement form before they did their stand-up set or before they, were contracted to appear. And one of the comedians, Konstantin Kissin, he shared this form on social media. So listen to this. This is on college campuses, which used to be bastions of free speech and free thought, and now it is one-sided. You must think like us. You must embrace safe spaces. Nobody can be offended. I mean, it's bizarre how college campuses are now. So anyway, here's the behavioral agreement form that comedians had to agree to. This comedy night aims to provide a safe space for everyone to come together to share and listen to comedy. This is a chance for all to be entertained and overjoyed by the different performances here on this day. This contract has been written to ensure an environment where joy, love, and acceptance is reciprocated by all. By signing this contract, you are agreeing to our no-tolerance policy with regards to racism, sexism, classism, ageism, ableism, homophobia, biphobia, transphobia, xenophobia, Islamophobia, or anti-religion or anti-atheism. All topics must be presented in a way that is respectful and kind. What is a stand-up comedian supposed to do with that? That you can't tell any jokes if the left's parameters are that rigid. And I was thinking about Sam Kinison. So I went and rewatched his first ever Letterman appearance. And Sam Kinison was the comedian in the mid-80s that every stand-up envied. They thought he's just the most incredible, unique talent. And I was thinking, there's no way that Sam Kinison could get started. Today, safe space. I mean, colleges embraced him. He did college tours because he was so crazy. And can you imagine under that behavioral agreement form at that college comedy night in 2018? Can you imagine what they would have done if Sam Kinison had gotten up and told the joke he told on Letterman?
But I'm not trying to make fun of world hunger. If you want to do something about world hunger, I think I have an answer. I think that a lot of people are adopting this attitude. You want to do something about world hunger? Stop sending them food. I mean, it's network television. I'll be the first. Look right here. Zoom in. Stop sending them food. All right? Don't send them any more food. You want to help these people? Send them U-Hauls. Send them boxes, you know, some luggage. Send them a guy there who goes, hey. Hey, you know, we just drove 750 miles across the desert with your food, and it occurred to us that there wouldn't be world hunger if you people would live where the food is! You live in a desert! Do you understand that? You live in a desert! Nothing grows there! Nothing's gonna grow there!
So I sent that soundbite to Nicole and said, hey, let's pull this for the show. And I knew what the answers would be, but I asked you this morning. I said, I bet you did, because I remember watching that live the first time he appeared on Letterman, and I felt like I was probably 23 years old, and I felt like I was on the cutting edge of this comedy revolution watching it. And as I rewatched it last night, and I'm sending you the email, I thought, I bet Nicole doesn't think this is even remotely funny.
Eh. I don't know who he is. What happened to him?
He died in a car crash between Las Vegas and Los Angeles. He had a horrible drug problem, alcohol and drugs. And he was a preacher before he became a stand-up comedian. And then you saw his whole shtick. He wore the long trench coat, and he had the really bizarre hair. And I don't remember if he was at fault. I want to say it was an impaired driver coming at him. But it was a head-on car crash between Vegas and L.A.
But it was while he was still doing comedy.
Yeah, but his star shone very bright and hot for a couple of years. And then I think he started getting deeper and deeper into drugs. And I think he had a big thing with hookers. I think. Oh, don't take my word on that.
Otherwise, you just trashed his
yeah, well, I know the drug memory. Thing. No, I know the drug thing was a big thing with him. But seriously, somebody like him, who's considered the most revolutionary comedian maybe of my life, because he was so different from everyone else. Can you imagine if a college sent him the behavioral agreement form today? 2018, times have changed. But I ask you, have they changed for the better? A state rep heard my comments about Jay Inslee's budget. He's pretty fired up. He's going to join me live. And if you missed what Jay Inslee's proposing, we'll recap it next.